Hello and welcome to The Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe. And please rate and review the show. Reminder, we're streaming live on Sportsnet's YouTube channel and airing live on Sportsnet 360 Monday to Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. I'm your host, Wayne Malou. I'm joined by producer and co-host Alex Wong. We are down bad once again. The Raptors finding new ways to disappoint. Leading by 40-plus minutes in yesterday's game, and then losing at the end on a rip-through. I've never seen a game decided on a rip-through before, but we saw that game decided on a rip-through. So, Alex, how you doing, man?
Yeah, it's good, man. Like I've always said, you can't waste a masterpiece from Joe Wieskamp on the road.
No, if you can't win with Joe Wieskamp giving you three threes in his debut.
Wheezy J, man.
What is it going
to
take?
Wheezy J, baby. Yeah. Actually, he has another nickname. We'll get to it later. But he was 100% from three.
Is that the new guy new
Mr. 99% just dropped. But it's not that exciting when the Raps are losing games like this.
Yeah.
You know?
No, literally someone in the office walked by and said hi. And I said, And literally, I was like, ain't nothing on my left to smile about right
now.
Yeah,
there's nothing...
You a sucker.
Yeah.
Nothing to smile about. Raptors lose 128-126 against the third string team from the Minnesota Timberwolves roster.
Oh, man. It's like Jimmy Butler taking the third stringers and beating the Timberwolves. That was the Raptors, man.
Shouts to they lost to, DoorDash's Matt Ryan.
Bro.
Nathan
Knight. I hope the Raptors left a tip.
Secret Asian Kyle Anderson. He is 1/8 Asian, by the way. Google that if you don't know the backstory. It's actually really cool.
Yeah, go ahead, fat short to him. You know, I hope he's... I already made the joke on the React Pod, but he's wrapping dumplings right now.
Yeah, he was...
Doing something real traditional.
He was looking at the wraps like they were red pockets yesterday.
They're like, oh, that's
There's
free.
Money
that's
on
free
the ground everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Kyle Anderson is like this... You know, obviously his nickname is Slow-Mo.
Yeah.
But after watching Joe Ingles the other night, like Kyle Anderson's like... Yeah, he's like the slow-mo version of Joe Ingles, which is wild.
We got cooked on back-to-back nights by Joe Ingles and Kyle Anderson. I think both of them only missed one shot. Both of them had like close to 20 points.
Yeah, 20 and 10 last night for Kyle Anderson. Again, happy Lunar New Year to Kyle. Yeah, 8 of 9 from the field. God. Oh, he also had 6 assists.
Of course he did, yeah.
2 steals.
Yeah.
Wow, incredible night. Yeah, but the Raptors... So they're playing this Minnesota team that was second half of a back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
They were just flying back from Denver.
Yep.
So a little, altitude adjustment, but, going up against a Raptors team that needs an attitude adjustment. So I guess attitude's more important than altitude is one of the takeaways. Yeah, you said the Raptors were leading. So Joe Wieskamp, which I guess we'll devote a segment to later, hit a three with like 9:46 left the fourth quarter, and the Raptors were up 119-105.
Mm-hmm.
And like you mentioned, they had been leading most of the way, even though this was another pickup game.
Oh, right? this was definitely a pickup game.
Both teams scored 30-plus in the first three quarters.
Yeah.
So at that point, they're up 14, and then, feels like, okay, like there's nothing to take away from this game, but the Raptors are going to at least get a W. And then they get outscored 23-7 the rest of the way.
Yeah. Raptors going on one of their patented scoring droughts.
Yeah. It's pretty funny in a game where they score 126 that they still lose because of a scoring drought.
They lose because of a scoring drought. They also lose because they played no defense at any point.
This team just doesn't play defense anymore. Like, it's just not part of the menu.
No. I clipped this play too because... after Joe Wieskamp hit that three, the bench was celebrating. Scotty was hyping him up. Fred was hyping him up. The broadcast calling him, Wheezy F baby, and then after the timeout, immediately the Raptors are open in a zone and they get back cut in the zone. D'Angelo Russell creeps out from the corner and gets a wide open layup right behind the zone. Again, the zone is designed to protect the paint and you get a wide open layup out of that timeout. And then, of course, they give up 4 straight threes to D'Angelo Russell at the exact same spot at the top left part of the floor. I mean, like, one of them was, like, decently contested. But, like, honestly, how do you let him stay on that spot? I understand you're in a zone, but, like, you got to be able to adjust and sort of move him out of that way. And Nick talked about after the game, the game plan was to pressure and let him put the ball on the floor and, try to finish over length. I think that would have been obviously much more preferred to the fact that, him just walking into – wide open threes, but it's just like the Raptors' defensive possessions are just so bad. And then, of course, once you give a team like Minnesota that late life, they're able to turn it on. You know, Anthony Edwards had an extra gear and he turned it on. It was strange to watch him dominate defensively, but he had some really, really good stops, mostly against Pascal and also another one against Scotty as well. He turned it up defensively. And then, you know, I think the Raptors still had a good chance because, look, even though they gave up the lead, the Raptors were able to call timeout maybe a little late after giving up the whole lead, but they called timeout, and then they had, like, 3 minutes there where they can just do something in terms of getting some baskets to drop. And their offense just didn't really look great. I think there was some panic decision-making. You know, there's a play where Pascal had Kyle Anderson one-on-one in the post. You know, that's where he needed to say, go hey, Fat Troy, but he didn't. And he kicked it out to Fred instead for no reason. And Fred was not open. Fred had to drive out of the corner and throw up a bad layup because it was like, again, that's just a grenade. I don't even blame Fred for that. I blame Pascal. You should take that matchup, right? There was a play where the Raptors got Scotty Barnes in a 2-on-1 scenario in the middle of the paint. And instead of Scotty going up strong and finishing, he made the extra pass to Pascal. But Anthony Edwards, I think, read the play and sagged back on Pascal to tip away the pass and create a turnover. You know, you had just like some pretty bad foul baiting possessions for Pascal. I think he really wanted a call a couple of times. To be honest, like they were playing him very physically on the perimeter, especially late, but they weren't giving him those calls. He only had 2 free throws last night. And so some of those were just bad shots that led to like essentially turnovers. And then I think for me, it's like, okay, you have all that, you give up the lead, all that stuff. But at the same time, you still have 2 golden opportunities to win the game because after the Raptors, you know, they're in a tie game. They find Scotty in the middle of the floor. Scotty makes the read and kicks it out to OG wide open in the corner. And that's what the game tied. If he knocks down that shot, you're basically going to win the game, right? At worst, you're going to give up overtime. But that's a great look. And OG doesn't knock it down. The Timberwolves come the other way. The Raptors commit. I don't know why they gave the take foul so quickly, but they did. And then, you know, obviously Russell with a very clever rip-through move. I haven't seen a game one on a rip-through in a while, but, you know, very clever move on his part. You would say that I think Fred would probably just was surprised by it because you don't usually see that move in a lot of scenarios. I would have preferred, obviously, if he, you know, kept his hands back. And, look, listen, if he wants to sweep up and shoot a contested three, you know, you live with that result. But you can't necessarily play for the steal there. But then again, I just think it's just a very clever offensive player in that situation, right? Because I don't think any defender will be expecting a rip-through unless they're guarding Chris Paul. And still, the Raptors have a great opportunity because they still have the ball back with 10 seconds.
Right.
The play they drew up isn't even a play. I think they chose not to advance the ball, which is funny. I've never seen a team. What do you think Nick Nurse drew in that timeout? He's like, all right, we're going to draw this transition play. Because normally what you see is like after the team scores, you call timeout, you advance the ball into the front court, you inbound, and you set up your play. The Raptors decided to take the ball from the baseline and gave it to Pascal. He dribbled the length of the floor, drew two to him, because obviously it's just a two-point game at that point. If he goes to the rim, you know, that could tie the game. So the Timberwolves were sort of, you know, dragged into the paint. Pascal finds OG wide open in the corner.
Right.
He pump fakes the defender out of the way.
Right?
He's wide open, and then he misses again, and that's how the game ends. And so it's like the Raptors made all those mistakes. You know, they got up to a big advantage. They should have held on. They should have played defense. But they even still had so many other chances to still put this game away, still walk away with something, and they just kind of chose not to.
Yeah,
you know, well, like it's just not there for them.
They should have just never been in that position. You know, you get into a game against the Wolves, you look at their injury report, you look at everything, you know, you're desperate for wins at this point. You know, you come out and play a disciplined game, you play a little bit of defense against these guys. And even having not done that, they had a double digit lead.
Yeah.
So just imagine if they came out with a, you know, just better effort in the first three quarters instead of just letting the game get to that point.
Yeah.
And you know,
well, the Raptors had 109 points through three quarters and they're only up 8.
Yeah.
You know, like that's where your defense had to be show up for you. Like you had the rest advantage. You have your full roster. You have a team that is built on defense. And I was looking through the numbers. Like in the last 19 games, the Raptors have had 10 where they have given up 119 points or more. That's half the time they're giving up 120.
Like, there's no defense. It's off the menu, man. You go into the restaurant, it's one of those like, yo, it's not available right now. The defense is not available right now.
Oh, my God.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So
I think that's the clear sign to me that, like, they're just kind of giving up on each other as a team.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know it's, like, giving up. It's just like they just don't play together, right? Like, they're just, there's not just a collective focus and a collective purpose when these guys go out there and play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's
Nick Nurse played them in their zone for like 30 minutes last night.
Yeah, just so they could stand in the right spots.
Yeah. He's like, look, let me make this real simple for you, okay? Someone's going to protect the rim. You got to have two help defenders on the edge of the paint, and then you're going to have two guys pressuring the ball at the top.
And Kyle Anderson back cuts for five red pockets.
Man.
You did say, I think you said on the Reaction podcast that last night was the worst loss of the season.
Yes.
May I interest you in a few other?
Okay, let's hear it.
Alternatives?
Okay.
How about the one in November when they went into OKC and just lost by 19 for no reason? I know OKC is a much improved team this season, but that was the first sign of trouble for me when I started getting worried about the team, because that was a very uncharacteristic showing from the Raptors.
That's fair. I would say that I think they started Thad Young and Otto Porter.
Okay. But they gave up 132. And again, I know OKC is not this tanking team anymore. They have the same record as the Warriors.
But I mean, look, they weren't healthy at that time. I think Fred was sick too.
Okay, you know? Okay. So you have those.
Okay.
So you're not going to accept that
not
one.
Not going to accept that one, no. This was
how about getting blown out in New Orleans? Just absolutely blown out.
That one's pretty bad.
And
Fred
destroyed.
Got ejected for no reason.
Oh, that's right.
The Raptors played very little defense. I don't know if Pascal was healthy for that one. Maybe not. Maybe yes.
No, I think he did come back at that point.
Okay, maybe he was just shortly back from
injury. Yeah, he was like a week in.
But yeah, wow, that game was also really bad defensively.
I think they gave up 40
Zion
in the first.
OG in that game.
Yeah.
You know, like, because we were at the start of the season, again, obviously our dispositions were much cheerier and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
And we were like, you know, OG propaganda, maybe, you know.
No, we're down
to
Joey's
camp. And then that's where it died. Like, it only lasted a month because Zion did what he did to OG. Just watch that game. That was one of the most dominant performances I've seen against the Raptors by any one player.
Yeah, 40 points from the Pelicans in the first, 74 in the first half.
Mm.
Yeah, that was very embarrassing.
Do you think that's
74-37 at the half? No, this
it's
has
the
to
LeBronto
be
LeBronto days. No, but seriously, do you think that's when CJ was like, maybe some guys on the team aren't happy?
Like, due to tampering.
He's like, I don't know, man. That wasn't
tampering is the most professional way to tamper, man. And then the two nights after that, too, when they lost in Brooklyn.
Right. That was when Masai came down to have a sit-down with Scotty.
Yeah, forget about even the sit-down. Just the game itself was like, let's see how many. Yeah, the 41 in the first quarter.
Oh, yeah.
72 in the first half.
Well, they had a team meeting after that, too. Remember that? That was right after they had the team meeting.
72-49 in the first half.
How do you expect? Again, I'm worried
about
the
tuning into the Raptors. They'll find new ways to lose, man.
I'm worried about the paying customer.
The rip-through is going to not even make the top five by the end of the year, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. They had a team meeting afterwards.
Yeah, team meeting.
Yeah.
And then, you know, heroically beat Orlando the next evening at home.
That's the one time they beat Orlando this year.
And then proceeded to lose 7 of their next 8.
What about losing Orlando twice?
This is the one I was going to present you.
Okay.
Let's not forget that they got swept in Orlando.
Mm.
Like,
that's pretty bad.
Another troubling sign.
What about when they lost to Atlanta, even though they had the lead, they had a layup to win it in regulation. And then they had a chance to force double overtime.
Yeah, this is a Griffin
game. With 3 seconds left, the Raptors gave up a full... Trae Young running the full length of the floor and then throwing AJ Griffin a lob with 3 seconds left going the full length of the floor. How's that possible?
No, that you got to just call AJ Griffin a different name or something at that point, just to disrespect.
Yeah, so
Adam Griffin. Yeah, so Adam Griffin game.
Yep.
That goes in there as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What else, man?
What else?
Let's see.
Kyrie hitting the game winner in Scotiabank. I thought most players played decently that game, but Kyrie just comes up, pulls up for 3, wins it.
I believe I bet on the Nets.
Utah hitting a corner 3 or before that, celebrating, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Not having ramen with me.
Yeah, that was that was okay. We did beat Detroit.
Oh, beating Detroit right now
is
a top
3
moment of the season right now, along with Joe Wieskamp getting nicknamed Wheezy and getting a 3rd star.
Detroit was the Jeff Doughton game.
It was the Delano Banton game with Jeff Doughton coming with a huge stop on Jaden Ivey at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
So kudos to the 3rd stringers. Came through there.
They did, yeah.
Even recently.
Losing twice to Indiana, even though they had double-digit leads in the second half.
Yeah.
You know.
A lot of the same trends if you really look at it.
I mean, the one thing you got to credit the Raptors for, though, is they do find new ways to lose.
Yes, that's why.
They did not lose on a rip-through before this season.
Right.
So that's a new one. What are we going to see next game? Losing on a backcourt violation?
Yeah, something
losing
like that.
Losing on a technical?
Like an 8-second...
Yeah.
Or a delay of game. Losing on a delay of game would be amazing.
They got to find ways, man. They find ways to lose. Good teams find ways to win. Bad teams find way to lose. And horrible teams find new and they invent ways to lose.
Okay? So their last regulation win against a non-Charlotte team was Jan 8th, right?
Yeah. Okay.
That's my cherry pick stat of the day.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, because you cherry picked yesterday. You're like, I like the Wolves, man. Raps just went into New York and gave it to the Knicks.
Yeah.
I'm like, did we just skip the Milwaukee game? Mm. Anyways, the last two games have been, I mean, more than the last two games, but the last two games have been very troubling.
Mm.
Just from a defensive standpoint. It's been very troubling.
Yeah, again, this is supposed to be a defense-first team. They're not that good offensively. They were scoring
a
ton.
They're not good enough to win.
No. They were scoring a ton offensively yesterday, but because the Wolves were super tired and it was like literally an open run at times, it was so easy to score. But once the Timberwolves started giving some effort defensively, and the Timberwolves aren't even a great defense at all, the Raptors just couldn't do anything with that. So that's why it's important for them to always maintain their defensive structure. Like last year, when the Raptors turned it around from January onward and they were one of the winningest teams in the Eastern Conference, they had the same number of wins from January onward last season as the Boston Celtics did. And they did that because they played amazing defense. I think they were top five defensively.
Yeah.
Right now, the Raptors are in the same spot. They got to turn the season around. They got to flip it around. We keep hearing stories where, like, you know, the six-game road trip, like, or homestand, they got to take all of them here, or they got to really turn it around. And you see Nick Nurse, like, playing his starters, like, 45 minutes a night. Like, that's a clear sign. They're trying to show something.
Oh, every starter played at least 36 minutes last night, by the way.
That's light for Nick Nurse, man. That's only because Wheezy showed up at some minutes off the play for certain guys. But, like, they're giving their all, except they're not actually defending. And I think that's, to me, the clearest sign that this team is just completely toast. Yeah, they don't defend. They just don't guard. It doesn't matter who it is. If you're telling me you're giving up, like, super efficient games to Joe Ingles and Kyle Anderson back-to-back, meanwhile your whole team is built on defense, I'm sorry. Like, I can't take you seriously, man.
Yeah, I think...
And that's just, no disrespect to those guys. They're clever players, you know what I mean?
I think this team thinks they're better than, like, you know, a third-string Minnesota team.
They're not. Or
better than even, like, a Charlotte team. And, like, those games are, you know, they're close till the fourth. And those were pickup games as well. And I think it's just, like, you don't take these opponents seriously. You don't build these habits. And, you know, they've definitely, at this point, they've lost the plot. And, unfortunately, you know, having predicted them to win 56 games before the start of the season, we're at a critical juncture where the Raptors need to run the table and win their last 36 games for me to hit that. So,
I mean, it's still technically possible.
I'm sorry,
possible,
John. Just cash that bet out. It's not going to happen, the over-under.
How much do you get when you cash the bet out?
I think he cashed out for $2.
How much did you put on it, though?
I think like $50.
That's smart. That's smart.
Just check your cash out options on the Raptors over-under. Yeah, and then on the last possession, too, after OG missed a shot. There was like 0.4 seconds left. And somehow, painfully, we had to like sit and wait for the game to end as well.
Well, the officials reviewed it to see who was out of bounds on. And it was out on Scotty.
Yeah, so they reviewed. It was Wolves' ball.
And then Nick Nurse challenged?
Nick Nurse challenged.
He said, look at it again.
And then on the television broadcast, you can see Chris Finch get really mad. He goes to the refs and he's like, so do I get my timeout back? Like, he was asking for his timeout back.
Like, who cares?
He's like, you didn't give me my sweet and sour sauce.
The game is
for
over.
My nuggets.
With 0.4 seconds left. What are they going to draw up?
So they're reviewing again. And this is like the bad version of the end of game six of the finals. Remember, there was like all that weight?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember
for
that.
Kawhi to shoot the free.
I remember the Raptors used to play defense.
Yeah, when they used to have good players and were together.
Bro.
So they review
that
it again.
At that time?
Man. Yeah.
They probably hold Minnesota. Honestly, that defense, full strength versus this Minnesota team last time, they would have held them to 30.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so they review again. And then the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme music plays in the arena.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's Wolves' ball. And then I guess somehow Pascal gets it and throws up a prayer and that's it. So that was entertaining, I guess. It was a British Basketball League type ending.
Hey, listen.
BBL.
Shouts to Matt Devlin. You know, he's a friend of the program.
Friend of the program.
You know what I mean? You know, obviously he gives me a lot of advice.
OU Bubble Tea. Bubble Tea coming soon.
Right? Matt Devlin gives me a lot of advice. Always like, hey, Will, it's just basketball. You know, like, take your job seriously. You know, like, it's a privileged position.
Yeah.
You know, all that kind of stuff. He always gives me the old head advice. I'm going to give him the young head advice. Stop saying BBL. Stop saying BBL, Matt. Matt Devlin, I know you listen to the show sometimes. Just Google what it is, and then you'll understand what I'm saying.
Shows to Dev.
Just say British Basketball League.
Hey, Elvin said on the broadcast, too, because Matt was asking, because obviously, you know, Netflix's Anthony Edwards and Juancho Hernan Gomez were in the game.
Yeah, what was Wancho in the game for last night? Are they filming a sequel or something?
And they were.
There's no need for 15 minutes of that.
And apparently, like, Alvin is a running thing where Alvin still hasn't watched Hustle yet. And then Devlin was asking him, because a lot of guys from Philly got cameos in the movie, right?
Sure, yeah,
including Kyle.
Bro, Tyrese Maxey was in the movie. Not even Maxey, Matisse Thybulle was
in the movie. Yeah, Tobias Harris is in it too, I believe.
So.
And then he was asking, like, oh, Alvin, like, how come you didn't get an invite? And Alvin said that he, like, ran into Adam Sandler in Florida once and, like, made him mad, apparently. So next time Alvin comes on, we'll have to ask him. I don't know if that's a real story, but I want the backstory to that.
All right.
Yeah, these are the things you got to pay attention to. But yes, shouts to
Hustle. Just okay as a movie.
Oh, we got to stop.
We got to stop. It's cool. It's good.
It's slightly above watching the Raptors this season, I would say.
Oh, no, it's definitely better than watching the Raptors this season. But I think. I
can't believe there's a Warriors Celtics game on yesterday.
I had the dual screen experience.
Luke Garza. Shouts to Scotty Barnes, season high, 29 points, 8 rebounds, nice. 5 assists, 11 of 15 from the field. He's been playing really great as of late.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred, too, last night. Fred's had a really strong week, 25 points, 10 assists. You know, obviously the rip through at the end, but 4 threes in the game. And maybe this is even more worrisome, is that we've been talking over and over again about how, hey, like, Scotty and Fred are the guys that need to step up, need to get going.
They have stepped up,
and the team has stepped down. So what now, Will?
Okay, so
what now? Now that Scotty is, you know, looking good, and Fred is back.
Uh-huh,
yeah. Shouts to his back. And what
Fred
now?
Fred VanVleet is Rice.
He's actually Rice. Yeah, what now?
Man. Well, Fred VanVleet's Rice right now. You know, Scotty Barnes is Noodles, you know? Yeah. And like, no, but
the rest of the kitchen is closed, man. No defense.
Scotty Barnes.
No defense. Defense is not on the menu tonight, sorry.
So first off, you need to actually have defense for anything to happen, right? You just, the Raptors stop playing defense,
which is
going to ruin everything, right?
Yeah.
I think the other thing too is, like, low-key Pascal's starting to cool off. Like, it's no longer a guarantee that Pascal's going to come out every single day and be excellent.
Right.
Right. And I think that it's not even necessarily cooling off. I think that's probably a misphrasing on my part. I think he's just like, he looks worn down to me, man.
Sure.
You can even watch the practice interviews. Like,
the practice clips yesterday. And people should look this up. I think a friend of the program, Savannah Hamilton's usually obviously on the road.
I legit texted Savannah being like, was Pascal okay? And he's like, she's like, yeah, Pascal's fine. Me and Pascal are fine. He was just.
Yeah, it was early. Yeah. You know, I'm sure NBA players aren't morning people.
What are you talking about? Pascal comes in early every day for extra work, man. That's not early for
me. All right. No excuses.
Okay.
Yeah, 13 points yesterday, 6 of 16.
Yeah. Well, the last four games here, Pascal, I think, is down to 17 points per game.
Yeah.
He's tied for fourth in team scoring. His percentages are down. I think it's concerning. Some of the things in terms of fatigue that you would really notice, like 1 of 15 from 3 in that stretch. He's also like 17 of 29 from the free throw line as well.
Okay.
So it's a lot of that stuff. It just feels to me like he's really starting to wear down. Defensively, I think he's also giving up a lot of chances as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, that's the other thing too. Is like, okay, if you had the start of the season, Pascal, or even not even just start of season, like literally the first 3 months of the season, Pascal, combined with Scotty and Fred, and if they actually play defense, they'd be good. Like, they actually would be good.
Yeah.
But they're not. So
the starting five just
kind of traded one strength for another strength and one problem for another problem.
This has been the whole season. I think it's just when it's not one thing, it's the other. And when the other corrects itself, you know, something else pops up. And that's what happens. You know, the starting lineup's just not good enough. Just not good enough. I think when you look at the individual players, you can see the talent.
Well, it feels very much like they're less than some of their parts right now.
Yes. And it's so frustrating. You always compare to last year because we've seen this core group perform.
Yeah,
we've seen them play defense at a high level and have the collective buy-in. And I think that's the harder thing for this team to really run away from and hide from.
Yeah.
Because it is the exact same players.
I think that's where you probably just need to see, like, moves specifically made to sort of shake up the roster. Because I was thinking about it. It's like they had a team meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They had, remember the whole story that Josh Lewenberg broke where, you know, Nick Nurse sat everyone down and into all of them and gave them whatever hard truths.
One-on-one.
Everybody. It was like everybody from the players to the coaches. Maybe, I don't know, he sat down the athletic trainers or whatever. Like, he did that over the week, one of the weekends.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you had the players only meeting. You had Masai coming out and talking to specific players.
Yeah.
You know, you had Nick Nurse calling people out in the press conference. You had Nick Nurse being
sessions before the game.
He's like, 20-minute film session, and the only voice was me. I'm like, wow, that's a TED Talk? And then it's like, you had all this. You have, like, on-court stuff, something that starts to spill over, right? We saw the Thad thing. And then it's just, like, ultimately, like, what's it going to take to actually jar them to actually play defense on a consistent basis. This team's not going to get anything done if they don't play defense. And like for a month plus now, every single game you come out here and you look at it, they're terrible. They're one of the league's worst teams in guarding transition as well, which is just a pure effort thing. Because last year, the Raptors were actually really good at defending in transition. Mm. This year, they suck so badly that Nick Nurse is like, well, if we don't make the shot, we're probably going to give up the basket. And I'm like, that's not how your team is built. That's not how your team is built. So I don't know what it's going to take to get through them. I think that's where you probably have to shuffle up the roster, shuffle up the locker room, just to at least wake them up. Because what other avenues do you have to sort of inspire them?
You can only,
you've tried all the other ones.
Yeah, you can only yell at your players and sit them down and tell them the same things so many times, right? And you can only hope for the players to figure it out themselves so many times. And I think they've been given plenty of chances this season to do it. They definitely need to shake it up because I think – just like I think within the locker room and I think with the fans watching too, you know, shouts to the consumers. You just want to know which direction this team is going in. And I think you want to know which players you're moving forward with and what those players, what roles those players are going to play moving forward.
So do you think that, like, where do you think the fan base is right now? Do you think they'll be happy with sort of seeing, like, the team tanking essentially?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of fans that would want to see the team bottom out.
I agree,
and go get the best lottery odds. And I don't think it'd be a worse thing, but it would also require you to tear down the roster at the trade deadline.
How do you think that affects, like, you know, attendance and all that kind of stuff?
I don't know. Those expensive tickets have been paid for this season, I think.
All right. I'm sure people are going to be thrilled, man. I know a lot of people buy the tickets so they can resell them on the secondary market.
That concerned
the resale price is going to be low.
The corporate partners, you know.
They'd be like, somebody at Deloitte's going to be like, hey, I got two tickets courtside to see Joe Wieskamp. You want them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Anybody working at Deloitte, hit me up. No, I think.
All right.
Due to tampering.
people just want direction.
Okay.
I think at the end of it, like you can, and I'm sure we're going to dive into, and you know, today or you know, next couple of weeks, like what direction this team is going in, the tanking, you know, the trades and stuff. I think people just want a direction because it just seems like the Raptors are just like aimlessly wandering and playing 48 minutes of basketball like every night. Yeah. And what takeaways are you really getting at this point that you don't already know? Right?
You know, the surefire sign that the Raptors are doing bad is when I don't write 10 things.
Oh, yeah. I see the five things.
It's pretty consistently five things.
It's about to be A. Marie. It's about to be one thing. The one thing, you know, that I took away from this game.
Shout out to A. Marie, man. Another secret agent.
Joe Wieskamp.
Yep.
3-for-3 from three.
Yeah. Good for him. And I'm happy for him.
Plus 10 in 12 minutes. You know, sometimes when these guys, you know, the shooter types come in.
And they don't shoot. That was Ben Thompson's problem. He wouldn't shoot.
Yeah. And, you know, the Nick Nurse problem, too, is like, oh, you got to play defense, but not a worry right now because nobody's playing defense. So it's cool. Like, you know, we can play.
He showed energy. I liked him at the top of the floor, but
I just mean like, it's not like these guys can't stay on the floor because his defense is below average compared to the rest of the team.
Right.
There's no defense right now.
Yeah.
So you might as well get some threes out of it. And after the game, Fred did talk a little bit about Joe Wieskamp, and we have the clip here.
It's Joe Exotic. That's his nickname. We love him, man. He's come with great energy. You know, he's shooting with confidence, and you know, I think he could be a good piece for that bench unit, add some shooting and some spacing out there. He's got to be able to hold his own on the defensive end, but I thought he was great tonight. 3-for-4, plus 10. You know, that's a pretty good debut for a guy on a 10-day.
Joe Exotic, referencing the Tiger King.
Yeah,
main
so
character in the
I know
King.
We were all shut in during the pandemic and the lockdown,
like the
but I did not watch that.
Okay, I was going to ask you.
What is the significance of this? Like,
Well, I mean, Joe Exotic's been convicted of several crimes.
Okay.
And things, so.
Okay, fine. Yeah, but.
But yeah, I don't know. You want a recap of Tiger King?
Give me a recap of Tiger King.
I don't.
The pandemic was bad, but I'm like, listen, I'll just go for walks or bike rides or something. Like, I don't need to watch this show that looks pretty bad.
All you need to know is just he was a Tiger King. I don't really have it.
What does that mean, though?
Summary for you. You should watch it.
It sounds like a Chinese drama, man. We should always be making shows about Monkey King and Tiger King and whatever.
Anyways, are we down with the Joe Exotic nickname?
No,
for the next 10 days?
I like Wheezy F Baby.
Oh, okay.
What'd you call him? Wheezy J Baby.
Wheezy J, don't forget the J. Don't forget the jumper.
Wheezy J.
Don't forget
Baby.
He's Joe. Yeah,
that's
don't forget,
hard. Actually,
don't forget
like
the J.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Gary Trent Sr. was there in Minnesota, and he was interviewed by the local television station, and he was with his two sons.
Two of his four sons.
Gary's son was there. And I think Grayson. I think it was Grayson.
Shouts to Gary Trent Sr. Not only for coming on the show repeatedly and telling me that Jay-Z's the GOAT.
You know,
but also because of the fact that, and I have to bring this up every single time. I know people already know this already, but he has four sons.
Yes.
He obviously named one Gary Trent Jr. after himself.
Yeah.
He named another one Grayson.
Yeah.
He named another one Graydon.
Yeah.
And then Gary's son. So essentially all four of his sons are named Gary.
Yeah. This is like if you name four kids like Willard, Willow.
Yeah.
Wilson.
Yeah,
like, Wilson, though, not Wilson, like Will's son.
Yo, this,
like,
his naming game is elite.
Gary did an interview locally, and he was asked if there was any similarities between Gary Trent Jr.'s game and his game back in the day, and here's what he had to say.
Playing hard, playing physical, you know, a lot of trash talk, not too much fighting, you know. I probably would have socked Lopez back in my day, you know what I'm saying, but he made a smarter decision. I wasn't as wise when I was young.
So there's your conclusion to the Brook Lopez.
That was the most predictable quote.
Steve Trent
rivalry. By the way,
rivalry.
He was not prompted a question. It wasn't like, hey, your son got into a fight last game. Like, what do you think? He was just out of nowhere because it was just like, hey, you know, you're here in Minnesota. How cool is it to see your son? And he's like, it's always cool to see my son play in the NBA. And also, I would have fought Brook Lopez. And honestly, like, because, you know, this is before my time. And obviously, I could probably guess having met him a couple times.
Yeah.
But give us a scouting report on what Gary Trent would have done in the past.
You know, the thing is, Gary was only here for a very short time. And, you know, I remember the knee-high socks, and he was a very good rebounder. I definitely think it would have been a Serge Ibaka type situation.
Okay, yeah.
Like a Serge Ibaka, Marquise Chris type situation.
Okay.
And remember he came in here and it was like, oh, this whole Raptors team is soft.
Yeah.
That was what else he said.
Like, there's some soft dudes on the team. Honestly, that's a brick on our part. We should have asked a follow-up question. We should have asked who.
Don't worry. When he shows up at Pi, I'm going to get him here. I'm going to call that Uber or whatever delivery service, car service that we're, you know, affiliated with.
Yeah.
But he was also wearing a fur coat for anybody who is tracking that.
Yeah.
And Grayson and, these are so hard, Grayson and Garrison were also wearing fur coats.
Yes.
So
it was really funny because
lots of fur.
They asked him about the fur coat, and then they zoomed out, and his two sons were also wearing fur coats.
That was a real great nesting great doll camera situation. Work, great cinematography there by the cameraman.
Shouts to the Bali Sports Network or Bali Sports Network.
It's Bali.
Is it Bali?
Yeah, is it a gym as well? Isn't Bali's like a?
I don't know. I'm thinking about Eric Bailly.
Thad Young played 7 minutes after being part of the DMP CD club for five games.
Nick Nurse is like, you want me to extend my rotation? Here's 7 minutes of Thad at center. That didn't make any sense to me. Stop playing Thad at center. Like, it's just defensively not going to cut it. Like, it really is. Like, you know, a lot of teams are probably going to look down there and they're going to be like, okay, there's a 34-year-old guarding the paint right now. Like, we should probably drive.
Yeah. DMPCD.
Why not Christian in that game? You had enough offense.
Yeah, so DMPCD boys last night were Christian Coloco, Chris Boucher, and Malachi Flynn.
Yeah, Chris
and
shout
out to the rest of the roster that went unnamed.
Yeah. So we re-signed Chris Boucher for 3 years, $36 million in the offseason. We're all pretty happy with it because he really turned his career around. He talked to us about it. He talked on his show about it.
Yeah, shout
it's
to
a
Chris.
Big thing, right? And he earned that extension. He earned that contract. And then this season, how many times has he been benched?
Lately there's been a lot where he's not played.
Like, to be fair, like, I get it. Like, when you watch back at the film, you're like, man, Joe Ingles really went at Chris Boucher over and over and over again.
But that was the other element. You know, when Precious was coming back, it was like, oh, Precious is going to save the season, number one. Number two, Chris and Precious had such a good chemistry coming off the bench, really going to give this team a boost of energy. And, you know, that also has not happened.
Yeah. I mean, at some point when you turn 30, like, you got to.
Oh, here we go.
No, I'm just saying, man. Like, it's not like, okay, you know, this is like a 22-year-old and they're figuring their way and they're making mistakes. Like,
you need that baseline, that consistency.
I'm just saying, at a certain point in life, when you're still making the same mistakes at 30, like, you know, like, it's just.
Adulting is hard.
It is, apparently. So, I mean, look, listen, I think Chris has earned more credibility from that, from Nick. But at the same time, I can clearly get it. I totally understand where Nick is coming from on this perspective. I think Chris, if you give him enough time, he will show that his positives outweigh some of the mistakes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, yeah, right now, man, to see him benched, like, just outright benched.
Yeah.
No, like, a 10-day guy played over him.
Well, they got to give Wyse Campbell a look, you know?
Sure, yeah. And we were pretty happy to see it, so.
No, it was nice. It was actually briefly very exciting. But, yeah, what are you going to do, man? I blame everyone.
Yeah. No, that's the big takeaway. And also the front office. talk to the media at some point, man. It's not fair. It's
just, no, they're going to have
to. We got to talk to
Nick Nurse about it. I don't want any press conferences.
Really?
Because, you know, Masai's going to do his motivational thing and then.
He's not going to hit this time.
But he's going to make me believe in this team again. Really? I don't want to do that. No, they should speak with their actions, you know.
Okay, fair.
You know.
Fair. Trade deadline coming up in 20 days.
Yeah, 20 days. Yeah, that's it for the Raptors Wolves recap.
All right, we're gonna take a break right here. I've been your host, Willu, and you've been listening to the Raptors Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. When we come back, we're gonna talk about tanking and we're gonna talk about officials.
And most importantly, the Rockets might keep Eric Gordon past the trade deadline.
Oh, okay. All right. Stay tuned. Have you checked out Bet Rivers yet? Download the Bet Rivers online casino and sportsbook app today. Get in the action this basketball season with thousands of betting options. Plus, don't forget about Bet Rivers sportsbook award-winning customer service. It's a whole new game with Bet Rivers online casino and sportsbook. Must be 19 plus. Available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, please contact Connext Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 to speak to an advisor free of charge.
Discussing the biggest stories that matter to Toronto sports fans. The Fan Morning Show with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Raptors Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm your host, Swim Lou. I continue to join my producer and co-host, Alex Wong. Alex has kindly produced a great segment here where he's got lots of things in the rundown. So go ahead, man. What do you have in the rundown here?
Yeah. How many more days until February 9th? Or 20 days.
20 more days until February 9th. And listen, if the Raptors are going to continue the way they are, that we got to seriously look at what it takes to tank. And just really quickly here.
Oh, we're doing it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you weren't even in your seat when the show started, man. Anyway, in order to actually get to the very bottom of the standings, like to me, realistically, even with the Raptors playing the way they are, mm-hmm. they're going to struggle to surpass a team like Houston, right. who have lost 12 straight. They're going to struggle to surpass a team like Detroit at the bottom of the standings. Charlotte, we saw how bad they are, right? And San Antonio is also actively tanking. Those are the four that are hardcore tanking. Mm-hmm. Orlando, I'm not fully sure about because sometimes they play pretty spirited.
Yeah, I feel
but
like
sometimes
they're not. They're, they're like three games back of the Raptors.
Yeah. Right? So, you know, that one's sort of more TBD. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess, Orlando probably finishes a little bit lower as well. So I think probably the best that the Raptors can really do is six.
Right. Right now the Raptors are seventh.
Right.
Seventh worst team in the NBA.
They're a half game up on Washington for that seventh spot, and then they're a half game below, I guess.
So you're thinking they probably get to like five.
The best that they can really do is five. That's if they somehow lose more games than Orlando.
It's possible.
In terms of the splits, I think this is the part that's really important. So the lottery odds are fairly flattened for the last couple of years here. The top three, the bottom three are the bottom three. They get the exact same odds.
Yes.
Right? So that's a tier onto itself. I don't think the Raptors can crack that top
three. Yeah, so if you're into tanking and you're looking at it, you don't need to look at the Raptors to get the worst record. It's to get into the bottom three.
Right, but bottom three is really hard because, again, you'd have to be worse than two of Houston, Detroit, Charlotte, and San Antonio.
Yeah,
that's not possible.
It's going to be tough.
Even with this roster. In terms of...
Don't put it past this roster, though, but yeah, go on.
You're right. The percentages start to tail off at that point. Once you're in the fourth spot, you have a 48% chance of moving up into the top four. When you're in the fifth spot, you have a 42% chance of moving up into the top four. And then when you're in the sixth spot, you have a 37% chance of the top four. And then right now where the Raptors stand, they have a 32% chance of getting to the top four. Now, of course, the Raptors actually hit this last time because they had the seventh best lottery odds in the year that they moved up into four. To get into four for Scottie Barnes.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the cutoff that you really have to look at. I think that's if the Raptors continue on to tanking or if they continue plummeting and they really pivot towards this direction, that's where you got to look at. Those are the teams you got to compete with. But listen, it's not going to be easy, man. It's not going to be easy, but at least the flattened lottery odds does give you a higher chance. Because in the years past, like if you're the seventh pick, you're probably just going to have the seventh pick.
Yeah.
But, you know, right now the odds are probably more in favor of tanking, I would say.
Yeah, I think the people pushing for tanking is just more they just look at it as let's just go for the best odds. Like, you know, regardless of what the structure is, right? Like, let's lose as many games as possible and not leave it to chance. Like, if we can get the extra 5%, 10% to move into that top four.
Mm.
Which, listen, I understand. It's been a frustrating season. Like, it's not... But I'm with you. Like, it's tanking is not... as easy as it
well
sounds.
I think so, and I think that that's where it's not just like just the management deciding to do it. I think that's where you got to really talk to ownership and being a lot, because again, you're really affecting your bottom line when you do that. One thing when they tanked in Tampa, because literally there was no fans around to see it, right? I think it's another thing to sort of tank at home for the second time, especially when they didn't plan on tanking. But the plan for the Raptors this year, they win 50 plus games.
I do think if this team is like this and they're struggling, like I don't think the fans will have a problem like overall, even if the product slips for the rest of this season.
So people are still going to listen to the React Pod. They're still going to listen to the Raptor show. They're still going to watch the Raptors broadcast.
Still charting number one, right?
Well, yeah.
Charting number one because we bring you all the trade deadline news.
Yep.
And the big news today is it's been reported that the Houston Rockets, one of the teams that you mentioned in the tanking race,
12 straight losses,
might keep Eric Gordon past the trade deadline.
Good night, Houston!
Oh, man.
No, that's what Eric Gordon's been waiting to say for the last 2.5 years since James Harden invited him to a party in Atlanta. But so sources indicate, according to Tim McMahon of ESPN, that Houston isn't in any rush to trade Eric Gordon, which I think we've been aware of for 2 calendar years.
I was going to say, how long has he been in Houston for?
So man? One reason is because of the Rockets' rumored pursuit of a reunion with James Harden in free agency, which we referenced yesterday. You know, Harden is a free agent this summer. There was a report from Woj earlier this year that he would consider going to Houston. And McMahon said that Harden enjoys playing with Gordon. And this is the funniest part. The Rockets see it as a potential recruitment advantage. So they're going to keep Eric Gordon locked up in Houston on the 3% chance that James Harden.
Yeah, I mean,
they want to make sure if James takes a meeting in Houston that Eric Gordon is sitting at the front of that boardroom.
He's like, so why should I come back to Houston? And they're like, because Eric's here.
Yo, they're going to call.
No one's loved Eric Gordon this much.
Eric Gordon is going to zoom into that, first of all. Like, I don't think he's even going to show up in person.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, for all the Eric Gordon fans out there, keep an eye on that. In other news,
who's the Eric Gordon fan?
The Milwaukee Bucks and center Serge Ibaka of Sportsnet. Check out How Hungry Are You? Have mutually agreed to find the 14-year NBA veteran a new home via trade as he remains away from the team, according to Shams at The Athletic and Stadium. So, yes, Serge Ibaka is looking for a new home.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of chatter about bringing Serge back.
Okay,
for what?
Realistically,
on this team?
Realistically, I don't think it's a fit for Serge because I think he probably wants to go to a place where he can play.
Yeah, it's not a fit.
Second of all, I don't think it's a fit for Serge because he just hasn't been physically fit ever since he left Toronto.
Yeah,
not in terms
of
like not taking
care
of his health.
Well.
He's just got a lot of injuries.
He's dealt
and it's
with a lot
really
of injuries.
Changed how he can affect the game nowadays.
Yeah. And it's not like the Raps are one vet away.
If I had to guess, Brooklyn?
Yeah, that's actually Brooklyn or the Clippers. Actually, he was just on the Clippers.
No, he's
never mind.
The Clippers,
he's already done the Clippers
tour.
Yeah,
I think Brooklyn is probably
Brooklyn. Yeah, I think Brooklyn is a.
It could be
good
like
call.
A buyout, and then they add him kind of thing.
No, but, hope Serge, you know, finds a new home and you know is able to contribute. You know, obviously played a huge role here. So
yeah, but you know, producer, can we just hit the Scotty Barnes clip, please?
Yeah,
Scotty Barnes.
Yeah. So shouts to. No,
honestly, if Masai brought him back just so that he could say Scottie Barnes' name in press conferences, I wouldn't mind. It would change the vibes.
This is what? Nah, man.
No, we're not getting him back. We're not actually. It's just a joke. It's a joke.
Ain't no vibes changing. The only way to change the vibes is to go on the NBA Referees Association website.
You've done a lot of research on this one. I'm really excited.
Check out their bios. Yeah. So I don't know if you know. Well, one thing that we do know is that Will is not a huge fan of referees in general, especially referees during Raptors games.
Come on, that's not true.
And I know during the offseason, you know, you had friend of the program, Victor, come on, you know, he's a referee, to really give you the other perspective, right?
Yes.
Victor's like, we are human as well. Yeah.
Yes.
We just try to do our jobs.
Yeah.
Which is completely
dude,
fair.
Shouts to Vic. I know he's always listening.
Shouts to Victor. But it's cool. Like, I was just browsing. I think it was during the bubble when I started pulling up this page. Because, like, you can actually learn some stuff about the refs.
Man, how bored were we during the pandemic? This guy was like, let me look up the profiles and fun facts
they try to
Bill
inject
Kennedy.
You know, some
you
personality. So, you know, you being a Raptors expert, can you name me the three refs from last night? Can you even name one?
Nah,
their names are.
I'm not gonna
lie.
Yeah,
by the way, this is the their names are report.
How much did I care about the game last night? I mean, I did care about it. I took a lot of notes on what happened, but I don't think the officiating was an issue last night.
Yeah, even if they, that was not the question.
The whistle on Pascal, it doesn't really matter to me. But no, I didn't.
Pat Freer.
Sure. Yeah.
Tom Washington.
Okay.
And Diedrich Taylor. Mm. So I'll have you know that Pat Freer's favorite TV show is Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And his favorite app is the NBA app. That is if you filled out a bio and you said my favorite app is the Sportsnet Now.
It is Sportsnet Now.
It is also my favorite app.
I use it every day.
It's my favorite app.
And then when I worked at the Score, my favorite app was the Score app.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. My second favorite app is Bet Rivers. Yeah. Tom Washington, his favorite meal is salmon. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this, you know.
This is riveting stuff, man.
Does this give you context, though, like next time you see them at the review table, you know?
I just want you to see them as human. A grizzly bear. DJ
Taylor's hidden talent is playing the trumpet and juggling.
Oh, okay. So, juggling's cool. I like juggling. I got really bored of The Office one year, and I taught myself how to juggle, so that was cool.
Yeah, for some reason, Evan Scott, I think, just has been like featured prominently as a ref in like Raptors land. He's just been involved.
I think statistically, he's bottom tier. I think Tom Haberstroh has a specific refereeing metric.
Oh, there's actually like,
well, the way I believe the way Tom built his thing was like the best referees get put on the most important games. Like you get put in the playoffs, put in the finals, and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Put on national TV games.
That's right. So
the theory goes that the ones that I think get the least prominent assignments are probably the worst ones.
But Evan Scott,
I think he was in the 8th percentile.
But Evan Scott's in his 4th season and he reffed during the 2019 finals.
He did.
That's the Raptors finals.
Evan Scott did the finals for
Raptors? I think we actually had players that
did he do the VAR room or something? What did he do?
Yeah. Anyways, he was born in South Korea, came to the US when he was 4 years old. His favorite movie is Inception.
Yeah, you can't trust people whose favorite movies are Inception, man. That's something you gotta get over when you're 20 years old.
He would most like to visit the Amalfi Coast.
Well, I've already done that. So maybe you can
give him some tips.
Rent a Fiat and learn how to drive stick.
John Goble, I think, is another ref that you're familiar with name-wise.
Yeah.
The Goble Ambassador.
The Hungry, Hungry Goble.
Favorite musician. He says he enjoys hip-hop, salsa, and reggaeton.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's pretty good mix. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I thought you had better facts than this.
No, man. This is really it, man.
No, come on, man. We got 3 more minutes. Keep going.
Oh, we got 3 more minutes?
Yeah. And what else?
Let's see. Do you even know these refs, though? Because I actually thought you would know these refs by name. I think I would set the over-under at, 7.5? You can't name more than 7.
First off, you could probably name the best referees or the refereeing crews. Like Tony Brothers is objectively, one of the best referees and just in terms of how to handle people. That's, that's one of the perspectives I was really open up to from talking to Victor. Was just, it's not necessarily about getting all the calls right. It's also sometimes about managing the people. And I think there was, the example he brought up was, in the finals, there was a scuffle there between Draymond and, I think, Tatum near the bench. Mm. And as they were sort of jawing at each other and going at each other. And as soon as Tony Brothers went over, they all kind of cooled off and calmed down the situation. So there's a people management side to it that I don't think we fully appreciate. We do see the missed calls and whatever. I'm sure I've complained about Tony Brothers a lot in the past and whatever. But, I think you notice the most prominent officials. And then you notice probably the worst officials, And Evan Scott's among those. Let's just say that.
Yeah, Jonathan Sterling's favorite musician is Drake. Is that a conflict of interest when he's,
Yeah, get him more games with Toronto,
Just asking questions.
Yeah.
And the last one, Mark Davis.
Oh.
Mark Davis, is he the one that was escorted out?
Yeah, he was literally had to be escorted out by our man Zoe.
25th season in the NBA.
In
his most fun fact, his favorite app is the Cisco AnyConnect app, which is the app that I used to VPN on my work laptop.
Wait. That is his favorite app. That is no way. That's like saying the Settings app is my favorite app, man. There's no way. That's even more egregious than him. The other ref saying the NBA app is my favorite app.
His favorite app is the start button in Windows.
The funny thing is, I think Nick actually said goes through and actually finds the profiles of these guys so that they
can sort of
curry favor with the officials sometimes.
Well, it doesn't look like it on the broadcast because he's yelling at them 3 minutes in.
Well, yeah.
So
remember when he challenged
the challenge
1 minute into a game this year?
No, that doesn't pass the eye test at all.
The season has just been horrendous.
So, anyways, just, keep an eye, if anybody interested in the refs, there's a bios
you certainly sold it in this segment. Can't wait to look up what my favorite referee is saying on their favorite food, man.
Oh, what a season, God. Man.
Yeah.
What a season. Anyways, Raps have two more games this weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Apologies to everyone.
Can't wait to
hosting Boston.
Subtly say what I hear hosting, when I go down there.
Hosting Boston tomorrow. Uh-huh. You know, the Alex spread for that one is -17 for Boston. And then the Knicks. Boston. And then the Knicks on Sunday. And then a 7-game road trip.
Well, meanwhile, you'll be on your own road trip. Alex won't be on the show next week. Finish up his book. I'm going to miss you, man. But JR will step in for us. But that does it for us today. I'm your host, Will Liu, and you've been listening to The Raptor Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Make sure you find The Raptor Show wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe, and please rate and review the show. Thanks again to producer and co-host Alex Wong, board producer Derek Brandel, and Jennifer Rolnick for helping us with YouTube stream, and we'll be back next week.